Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. My guests on the Goodyear Hotline, the stars taking the stage a mile high last night, putting on a fun show. While the man in charge has a lot of things to say. Plus, Shefty drops an absolute bomb on Aaron Rodgers, and you decide the one thing in sports we need to change. All that and more in the hopper. Let's go.
Here we go.
Only one place to start.
An absolute no-doubter to left for Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Being around, there's so many talents, the best baseball player of the world. You just want to make you get better and just appreciate it and just have fun.
And the American League wins the All-Star Game 5-2.
Just for the fans to be able to be in the ballpark and to be here for, you know, an All-Star Game is pretty awesome.
That was a good night for baseball last night, and I hope everybody enjoyed it. For last night, it wasn't about the players who weren't there. It wasn't about Spider Tack. It wasn't about any of the nonsense that baseball just too often gets itself into. A lot of optimism around the sport, and the primary reason, if you watch that game, is youth being served. I think there is an argument that can be made that Derek Jeter has never really been fully replaced as the face of the sport. If you ask people out there the Q ratings to name a baseball player, he might still be the first one that most people mention. Alex Rodriguez might be the first or the second. Mike Trout has just never shown any interest in being that guy, and that just is what it is. Not everyone is meant to be that. Trout's a great baseball player, and that's all he's obligated to be. Bryce Harper has never quite become that, maybe because he's not quite good enough, maybe because he's not quite likable enough, maybe because his team is not quite relevant enough, one way or another. When Harper came up, I thought maybe he'd become the face of the sport. Trout certainly has the game to be the face of the sport. But now we enter the new generation. And when Vlad Guerrero Jr. is being named the All-Star MVP last night, at the age of 22, the youngest MVP in the history of that game, when he homers in the game, and only Johnny Bench ever hit a home run in an All-Star game younger than Vlad Guerrero Jr. is now. And you look around the field and you see Fernando Tatis Jr., who's also 22. And unfortunately, the injury to Acuña is a devastating blow, but that's a 23-year-old star who will be back. And Juan Soto is 22. And Shohei Ohtani, the biggest story of them all, is 27. Maybe, just for once, we can talk about great young players in baseball and not talk about exit velo and not talk about spider tack and not talk about the shift and not talk about taking your starting pitcher out after five innings. Maybe, just maybe, we can actually have a conversation about a lot of great young players in the sport. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No one loves that more than my main man, Hembo. Hembo, what was your number one takeaway from the All-Star game last night?
This was the best week that baseball has had since before the pandemic. It was a great way to highlight all of the talent around the game. Obviously, a lot of the young talent that you mentioned, to me, is really the biggest story here. The Derby was outstanding. Pete Alonso put on a show. That was an outstanding event. And last night,
ratings of that were huge, by the way, if I may.
They were. Mm-hmm.
I saw, I think they had the biggest rating they had in 5 years for that event, so
yes,
that's good.
That was a monster rating and a great event. And last night, look, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is amongst a handful of young players, of which, you know, you mentioned four or five of them, that I really feel like are sort of grabbing the bull by the horns and taking baseball into its future, into the next generation. When you say that baseball really hasn't ever replaced Derek Jeter in terms of having a face, that's not something that we're using lightly. We actually have a way to measure this. And when ESPN asks sports fans, who is your favorite baseball player, more of them say Derek Jeter than any other active player. To this day, as in 2020 data that I obtained last week from our fan and media intelligence group. So in other words, these young players have the opportunity to take that mantle. Which one does it? That's what's most interesting to me.
Well, there was a moment in time, and anyone old enough will remember it, when there was a, I believe it was Sports Illustrated cover photo that had three young, budding superstars who all played the same position at that time. And one of them was Derek Jeter, and one of them was Alex, and the other was Nomar Garciaparra. And the three of them all panned out. Mm-hmm. They all turned out to be great players, and they played. Alex didn't, but the other two played, you know, in these legendary franchises and all that kind of stuff, the Yankee Red Sox thing. There were a lot of ways that all got built up. One way or another, this feels like maybe they try to head down that direction. I'm a little tired as one who has, I love the sport and I've loved it all my life. It is just so fashionable and easy to just say bad things about baseball. And I think one of the they bring some of that on themselves. I have to be fair. They bring some of that on themselves. A lot of the labor stuff, a lot of people still have sort of hard feelings about that. A lot of the steroid thing has stuck to them in memory more than mm-hmm. it has to other sports, even though I think they went further into it than anybody else did. People attach a lot of negative stuff to them. And then there's another reason, and that is that it is the hardest sport in which to live in the minutia, which is to say, if you're a talk show host like me, baseball is a sport that you have to live in every minute, every single day, if you're going to cover it the way we cover basketball and the way we cover football. And that's much harder to do because in basketball, there's three games on television on a given night, and they have seven stars, and that's really all anybody wants to talk about. In football, they play once a week, and you can throw a dart in any direction, and fans are going to be interested. In baseball, if you're going to cover it the way you would cover other sports, you're going to be getting into a pitching change that was made in the seventh inning last night and taking your starter out now and all these and the stuff that you can't live in mm-hmm. in this. So instead, the easier topics are, well, what's going on here? Is this bad? Spider attack, steroids, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. So what I want to try and do here, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise, is live in a place where we're going to celebrate these young, good players in baseball, and let's be into it. Season starts, second half of the season starts tomorrow. Yankees-Red Sox standalone game. Very interesting. A lot of really good teams in the hunt. Let's see what winds up happening.
Baseball has gone through plenty of ebbs and flows historically, but you know what has always saved it? The players. Mm-hmm. The players have always saved it because the players are the ones we care about. They're the talented ones that can save the game, no matter how much the game tries to get in the way. And the fact that yesterday I got to watch a 22-year-old Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit a 470-foot home run while Fernando Tatis Jr., another 22-year-old, was mic'd up live when it happened is about as cool as it gets. That's where baseball is going, and that's where baseball needs to go.
Yeah, and it's time to stop comparing its popularity to football. That's their stuff to worry about. If you're a fan, what do you care? You know, Embo and I were having this conversation this morning. Golf is my favorite sport. When I'm watching golf over the weekend, I'm not sitting there thinking to myself, boy, I wonder if this will be good for the rating. Boy, I wonder if this is in the big picture good or bad for the sport. Like, I never have that conversation with anybody. I'm just watching an event that I like. And that's how we feel about baseball here. And so that's what we're going to do. And we'll get into it. Now, the commissioner, Rob Manfred, did have some interesting things to say. And one of them, he addressed this topic that we blew up into a very big deal yesterday because of your frustration over the players that didn't show up. And this is what he said, quote, "We have a basic agreement provision that with certain narrow exceptions, participation in the All-Star game is mandatory. We will, post-All-Star game, review with the union how all of the people that didn't come fit within the exception to the rule. We bargained for that, and we intend on enforcing it." So I don't know what these narrow exceptions are. Do they include cowardice on the part of the Astros players? Does that fit within that? Does it include just a desire to spend more time with family? It cannot include, I just want to be at my best for the second half. It can't include that.
It cannot.
I don't believe you can force players to play. Particularly, you cannot force pitchers to pitch. Mm-hmm. But you can force them to show up.
Absolutely.
And to your point of the other day, it's not too much to ask.
And I don't quite understand this narrative that so many people believe that you almost have to choose between your player or your pitcher performing in the All-Star game and them also being healthy in the second half. Name literally one example of someone's season being ruined, aside from Ray Fosse, from playing in the All-Star game. Like, what? Give me an example. Give me the pitcher who blew out his arm in the All-Star game and it ruined his career.
For those who don't know, Ray Fosse is the one who got trucked, steamrolled by Pete Rose in the All-Star game something like 50 years ago.
Yeah, that's
what I love about Hembo. Hembo can drop a 50-year-old reference anytime. That happened before I was old enough to be paying attention. What year was that, 1970?
That's right.
Something like that?
Yes. The most common piece of feedback I got yesterday on my rant was that I'm way too young to have done that.
Yeah.
And that's right.
But people don't know you because you're a perfect example of your chronological age and your emotional age being two totally different things.
Oh, yeah.
Your chronological age is what?
I'm 31.
You're 31. You were born in what year?
1990.
Okay. I think that your emotional age, you were born sometime in the mid-40s.
In my dream world, I was born in the mid-40s in New York, and I grew up a Giants fan.
And I think you grew up at a time when men wore hats.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I picture you wearing a hat.
A hat and like a suit to the ballpark, sweating through it and watching a doubleheader at Ebbets Field.
You know, my dad did that throughout his life. My father would be dressed to go to games.
Really?
My dad, we would go to... Knick games and Jet games were primarily the games we'd go to, and even late in the season, freezing, right? Mm-hmm. Now, it's a Jet game. It's, you know, it's this 1976. We're 3-10, and it's like a December day. Oakland is beating us 51-9, mm-hmm. and my dad and I are under a blanket. Like, we literally would have a blanket with us that right. we'd bring to these games that we kept in the trunk of the car. But he's in a sport jacket. My father was dressed, and Nick Ames, a suit, always.
Huh.
Always. That's just, you know, that's the way it was then. You would have loved it. Okay. as we continue, the question of the day is about the All-Star Game and All-Star Games in general. We will get to that. Plus, news yesterday that suggested to me we have seen the end of one of the greatest careers in sports history. I'll get to that and more as we roll on. You're listening to Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Changed the franchise every place he's gone. So if he can cap it off by leading a team that has never won a championship, I will forever remember CP3 as a Phoenix Sun.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Tomorrow starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Greeny with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Goodyear Hotline. So, I'll get to the news that I saw yesterday that suggested to me that we've seen the end of one of the greatest careers ever in just a moment. But here we are talking about how last night was a great night for baseball, and I want to spotlight that. I want to talk about the young stars in the sport. I want to take a day where we're not talking about all the things that are wrong with mm-hmm. baseball, and we're talking about all the things that are right. And I just open up the first story that pops up on my timeline, and the first sentence is, "It was a storyline that overshadowed the game itself. Normally, players wear their normal uniforms with an All-Star Game patch, creating a beautiful, unique collage of players, one of the many things that makes the sport and All-Star Game iconic." It goes on to talk about how the number one story coming out of last night was how much everybody hated the uniforms.
That was the first thing I saw on my Twitter timeline this morning, too. Everyone destroying the uniforms. A few weeks ago, Greeny, you and I sort of scolded people for overreacting to Major League Baseball's release of them. They put out some pictures, and they weren't that popular, and I thought it was silly. But after actually watching the game last night, I think everyone was right, and I think that we were wrong. I'm not sure which unit was worse. Like, the National League guys, they're wearing white on white, and they're almost, like, transparent and very, very unflattering. Especially Max Muncy looks like he had eaten Jose Altuve. And the American League, you're wearing navy blue on navy blue. You never see people not wear blue baseball pants. That's something that you would see in like a Twilight softball league sponsored by a bail bonds company. I think everyone was right about that, and I was wrong.
Well, let me ask Bubba, because Bubba's the one I generally go to on things like this, and many of you may not know this, but Bubba, before his very successful career in radio production, Had a fashion line. It was Pants by Bubba. It was very successful. And knows a lot about it. Bubba, what was your takeaway using your extraordinary fashion sense from the uniforms in the All-Star game last night?
Well, it's what I said weeks ago. They were pretty awful. I was not a fan then, and I was not a fan last night. I would agree with the assessment. I don't know what they were doing, what they were trying to do. It made no sense. Just wear the normal jerseys. They were trying too hard.
I can tell you what they were trying to do. How much did you tell me that a Jacob deGrom All-Star jersey was going for?
$160.
So you could wear one. He never wore it. I mean, you could get the one they made for him. How much do you think you could get for the one they actually made for deGrom?
DeGrom's actual jersey?
Yes.
Probably $199.
Yeah, I mean, I would pay for that. That'd be a keepsake someday. So anyway, we'll live in that a little bit. Greeny here, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average.
The Scoop.
The Scoop is bad. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I know it's not something everyone is interested in. But if you appreciate greatness, then you would have seen with a sigh yesterday the news that Roger Federer said he experienced a setback with his knee and will not play in the Tokyo Olympics. If you've not paid attention to this, Roger, during the pandemic, had to have surgery on his knee. Missed almost an entire year, came back, played through the grass court season, which includes Wimbledon, which has been one of his best events. He got knocked out by his standards pretty early there, got knocked out in the quarters at Wimbledon. Now he has, quote, experienced a setback and will not play in the Olympics. He says he's going to try and make it back in time to play in the U.S. Open. But I will just say this. Roger Federer turns 40 next month. It is time to face the fact, if you love the sport or just appreciate greatness, that it may be over for one of the classiest, most brilliant, most beautiful to watch athletes of all time. I can tell you personally, I love tennis. I grew up playing tennis and I've always loved it. My mother is the most passionate. My mother is to tennis as Hembo is to baseball. She loves it. So every year, even now that she lives in Southern California, she comes back for the U.S. Open. And one year as a present, I got her we took her and my dad and we were able to go down into the players area and meet some of the players and all that kind of stuff. And when I tell you, meeting Federer is I don't know how to describe it. It is he has a presence about him that is unlike almost any other athlete I can think of. He has a Jordan-esque kind of presence about him. The way people react to him, he's one of the most easy to love athletes, great athletes that I can ever think of. And look, Novak Djokovic is going to wind up with more slams. But Fed will always be my favorite of this big three, and I think a lot of people will feel that way. And it just got me to thinking, it's hard to say goodbye to greats. You know, have we seen the last on the biggest stage of Roger Federer? Have we seen the last on the biggest stage of Serena, who in the pantheon of all-time greatness in the sport goes right next to or maybe above Roger? Have we seen the last of her on the biggest stage? Have we seen the last of Tiger on the biggest stage? And the really scary one, have we seen the last of LeBron on the biggest stage? We're talking about immortals. We're not talking about just great players. In Roger Federer, you're talking about indisputably the Mount Rushmore of male tennis players through its history. And if you wanted to argue the greatest ever, you could. In Serena, I think we're talking about inarguably the greatest female tennis player of all time, and I believe on the Mount Rushmore of the sport, depending on how you wanted to look at it, whether you separate the men from the women or not. In Tiger, you're inarguably talking about the Mount Rushmore of the sport of golf. I think I would actually put him at number one all time. Jack has more majors. His prime lasted longer, primarily because of injury to Tiger, but he's certainly in that discussion. LeBron, it's debatable. LeBron, certainly this time next year, this may sound like a ridiculous conversation to have had if, you know, he and the Lakers are winning another championship. It's remarkable that Brady is not even in this conversation. He'll be 44 in August, but he's obviously not anywhere near being done. He's a defending champion, and he's got a team that everyone expects him to. But it's just those are going to be hard ones to say goodbye to. For those of us who love tennis, saying goodbye to Federer and Serena will be very hard. For those of us who love golf, we already said goodbye to Tiger. I said goodbye. I was under the impression we had seen the last of the great of Tiger, and he came back. Can he do it again? I guess it's not impossible, but I think it would take a miracle. I think for him, with what he's now been through physically, again, I think it would take a miracle for there to be another one of those moments. LeBron, obviously, that wouldn't take a miracle. It feels likely, but it's just, it's something I think about a lot. And I think if you're like me, Hembo, you're, you know, younger, everyone working on the show is younger than I am. I think people my age will relate to what I'm saying, that if you measure your life and the passage of time in your life by sports to the degree that I do, it's very hard sometimes to internalize how, when time goes by, that you've seen like the entirety of a player's career. Like players retiring when you were a little kid is something that like old guys do.
Was there a player for whom that first struck you as, like, the person that you remember them entering the league or starting as a pro, then finished, and you thought to yourself, how did I get here?
Yes, of course. A million of them. I mean, more than I could begin to count. Just using the sport of tennis. I go back to John McEnroe. I go back to Jimmy Connors. I go back to Guillermo Vilas. Then I, to use your analogy, I saw the beginning of Pete Sampras and the end of Pete Sampras. Mm. The beginning of Agassi, the end of Agassi. And basically every great basketball player that has come through since. I remember celebrating when the Knicks won the draft lottery to get Patrick Ewing. I saw the entirety of his career. And that's my point. Like, you may seem 80, but you're actually only 30. Mm-hmm. You'll feel this way someday, too. Vlad Guerrero Jr. won the All-Star Game MVP last night. I remember when his dad came up. So, all through watching, I remember Bobby Bonds. Mm. I remember Ken Griffey Sr. That's the point. Like, how old you are. I love it when people will post things on Twitter that says, quote tweet this with something that will tell us how old you are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I've seen those.
The sports, I like those. And there's not always sports. Like, there's a lot of things that can tell someone how old they are. Like, do you have any recollection of a phone that you dialed with your finger and you spun the wheel around?
Do you even know
what I'm talking about?
My grandma has one, yeah. We were just there last week, I remember.
She still has one?
She still has one.
All right, I don't know that I have anyone in my life who has one, but the ability to dial a phone number really fast is just a lost art. That's just gone. That's just something you'll never see again. No one will ever do it again. There are a lot of things like that, and things that have gotten phased out in sports. Anyway, I didn't mean to get this sidetracked into all of this, but I do find myself interested in that, and so we'll see. That news yesterday made me feel a little wistful. I think we've seen the end of one of the genuinely great careers in the history of international sports. I mean, of anyone ever in any country at any time.
And is there an athlete more universally beloved than him? Because when you watch him play Djokovic, for example, at Wimbledon a few years ago when he lost that excruciating match, it was Djokovic against the world. The world was rooting for Federer.
Right.
And I'm not sure there's anybody that we can say that about anymore.
No,
at least not to that degree.
Correct. The sport isn't as popular in this country as some others, but he is as beloved everywhere on the planet. He has home court advantage every match he plays, regardless of where he's playing it.
He would have it in Serbia playing Novak Djokovic.
I mean, probably not there, but they don't play a big tournament there.
Sure.
But he has it in Australia, and he has it at the French Open when he's playing against Rafa Nadal, who basically owns that
event. Yeah, that's right, too.
He certainly has it here in New York. Mm-hmm. He has it in New York when he plays Americans.
Yeah.
I mean, he's that universally beloved and deserves it. I talked yesterday. Phil Mickelson is another one who goes in this category. If you demonstrate that you care about the fans, they will love you forever. Right? No one is better with the fans than Federer. Anyway, I didn't mean to get quite so sidetracked into that, but I just found it quite very interesting. In the meantime,
you ask these questions.
Greeny's question of the day.
So the question of the day today is going to involve phone calls. So get ready to call right now. Here's the question of the day. Coming off of our debate over penalty kicks yesterday, I can't stand them. Hembo loves them. We talked about them at length. That just is what it is. I would change the way they determine the winner at the end of a soccer game, be it in the Euros or the World Cup or wherever else they hold those. That's my opinion. I'd like to see it changed. So my question to you today is, what is one big thing you would like to see changed in sports? 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN is the phone number. Call now, and we're going to spend some time on this because I've always found it to be entertaining and interesting. I'm not looking for something silly. Today I'm looking for something real. Like, what happens in a sport that you think should be changed? It doesn't have to be something, I guess, quite as important. Like, I would change college football overtime tomorrow. Tomorrow, I would change it. I hate it. I find it totally contrived. I find it a ridiculous way to settle an event that matters, much in the same way that they feel about penalty kicks. So I would definitively change college football overtime to something different. That's an example of what I'm talking about. Again, I'll give you a moment to call here at 888-SAY-ESPN. Hembo, do you have one?
I definitely do. I am obsessed with this idea of head-to-head replay in baseball. Here's what I mean. I think that it's outrageous that the umpire has a split second to make a decision, and yet the manager and his video guy upstairs have a minute, seemingly, to request to challenge it. I love the idea, on the spot, a safer out call at first base, we use the example, the player, the base runner or the position player, depending on how the call goes, they challenge the call within 5 seconds of it happening. So if you're Javier Baez, you're running to first base, you think you're safe, you're called out within 5 seconds, you have to put your hand up, you stand right there next to the umpire as the replay is being shown on the Jumbotron, and it's you against him in real time, so none of this nonsense up in the booth.
Okay, I like the idea. You know, to use another tennis analogy, like we all watch when a player challenges a call in tennis and everyone cheers mm-hmm. and you see the ball. But if you've watched tennis, you know what I'm talking about. But in tennis, it's so easy.
Yeah.
Like a ball is either in or it's out mm-hmm. and that's it. And there's so are you suggesting that any player could challenge any call they want any time they want?
No, I think this would only really work for safe and out. But since those
No, I get that. But right. You could do that on every single bang bang play?
Yes, but you could also put an incentive in place for which if the player is the
wrong.
If the player challenges
if the player challenges
throw him out of the game.
Umpire is thrown out of the game.
The umpire can Javi You're out.
You buried the lead there, Hembo. That's the best part of your update.
So it's you against the umpire, and the umpire can toss you if you get it wrong, but the umpire stays if he gets it wrong.
No, how about if the umpire gets thrown out if he's wrong?
Three-man crew?
Yeah, now we go to the smaller crew, or you have like someone standing by ready.
Bring in the guy to replace the ejected umpire?
Yeah, I want to see an ump ejected just once in my life. Okay, I like that idea.
Not too silly?
All right. No, well, the ejecting the umpire part is silly. the idea that of a spot of changing the way they do replay challenge in baseball is in a bigger picture. I'm 1,000% with you.
Players do it, not managers.
All right. I'm told that the callers are ready to go on this thing. Give me something you would change in sports the way I would change the penalty kicks in soccer. 888-SAY-ESPN. Bubba, who's first up?
Let's go to Steve.
Steve, give me something you would change in sports.
Hey, Greeny. I would like. It's already kind of happened this year, but I'd like to see the NBA start their season later and extend through the summer like they are this year. I just don't like that there's only one sport, and it's baseball, and I'm not a fan of baseball in the first half of the season anyway, but I'd like to have at least two sports through the summer to watch.
Okay, So you want to see, let's say for the sake of argument, we got to get them out of there before football starts, though, right? Like, we can't have that. We can't have it leaking past Labor Day. So we're going to put the NBA Finals in August? Is that the suggestion here? Started on Christmas
Mid-August?
Day. That's their biggest mm-hmm. day. You could stretch out the schedule a little bit so you would get less kvetching from the players about how tired they are, and maybe you would cut down a little bit on all this load management, and you could play the finals. I mean, we have it here as it goes. The finals, if they go to a Game 7, it's going to end July 22nd. Now, these were unique
right.
circumstances, and they needed to get it done because the Olympics start literally the next day. Game 7 of the NBA Finals would be Thursday, July 22nd. The opening ceremony of the Olympics are Friday, July 23rd. These are unique circumstances. We hope we never have anything like this again. I'm with it. I kind of like it. They'll never do it.
No.
From a financial standpoint, it's not a good idea. But I don't care about that. I care about the fan. If you're a fan, kind of see the thinking there. I kind of do like it.
I don't like
plus
it.
Kids could stay up late and watch the games because they're not in school.
That is true, but the summer commands so much vacation time and stuff. Mark Cuban has talked about this before. The league has discussed it. I don't think it would
that's
actually
their
work.
Problem that's their problem, not our problem. As a fan, would it be better for you? I don't mind watching the game on vacation.
I think fewer people would watch the finals in mid-August than would in mid-June.
Fair enough. Again, not my problem. You'd be choosing not to watch.
The fans are the ones. There would be fewer fans watching. That's what I'm saying.
But the fans who really want to watch would still watch. It's the people who have nothing better to do on a cold night. Well, they're not going to be cold. Well, whatever. It's an, I don't dislike
who cares how
the
cold
idea.
It is.
Steve, we're getting too deeply into these. Bubba, who's next?
We got Matthew.
All right, Matthew, what are we changing?
Man, how you doing? Good. Big time listener.
Thank you.
I feel like they should change the way that the All-Star game is going, man, because, I mean, I watched it yesterday. It's still kind of subtle and boring. But I feel like if you just was to throw fastball pitches, instead of having players trying to figure if you're changing it up, it'd be more exciting, bro. More hits, more runs, more RBIs, you know, the crowd would get more excited. Because if you look at it versus the NBA and the Pro Bowl games, it's more exciting. You know, players is experiencing more, you know, they're getting more talent out, you know, making better catches, better shots, you know. But the baseball, man, is just still a game. You know what I'm saying? It's not an all-star game and you're not seeing hits.
So you're saying not to do – they need to change – he's suggesting they're changing something that will make the All-Star game different from a regular game.
So it would be like limit – yeah, like limit what type of pitches you can throw.
I see.
So yeah. A pitcher just throws off fastballs. You're only allowed to throw
the
fastballs.
See, I like the idea in principle. But the pitchers will never do that because they don't want to get humiliated.
Of course not.
The other way to do that would be that the pitcher has to tell the batter what pitch is coming, which would also be fun, but it'll never happen.
The thing about baseball's All-Star game that we all like is that it's the most similar to an actual game. There are pitchers throwing 90-plus and batters trying to hit the ball. The other three sports, they're really more exhibitions. That's the thing I like the most about baseball.
Right, which is why I liked it when there were stakes in the All-Star game. I go back to the Greeny rule. You all yelled at me. It was a good idea. Putting some significant stakes on the outcome of the All-Star game, like home field advantage in the World Series, was a good idea. And I don't only say that because it was my idea. It was a good idea. That would add to the tension. It would add to the significance of it. All these guys might show up. If that were going on. All right, I'm going to break on that thought, but I want more of these. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN is my phone number. We're going to come back with more calls. What's the thing you would change in the world of sports? This is rolling along. We're going to take more of your phone calls as we go. This is Greeny on ESPN Radio. Hi, it's Greeny with you, reminding you the finals here right on ESPN Radio. Tonight, Game 4, Bucks-Suns, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 8 Eastern on most of these ESPN Radio stations. We'll get to some other matters, but I want to take a few more calls on this because I like it, and we didn't get as many as I planned there. With me being as down on the penalty kicks as I was at the beginning of this week, something I would change if I could in the world of sports, I threw out the question to you, 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Give me one thing you would change in sports. One real thing you would change in the world of sports if you could. The calls have been good. Let's keep them going. Bubba, who's next?
Let's go to Blake.
Blake, what would you like to change?
Hey, how you doing, Greeny? Love the show.
Thank you.
I would change offensive foul calls, probably extending out to the whole key in the NBA. But I don't have a great solution. It's just not a beautiful play in the NBA.
So you're talking about the little arc that they have there. You would bring You would bring it out to the key.
Yeah, the whole key.
Yeah. So out. That's beyond the free throw line.
So the restricted area is the whole paint, pretty much.
It's the whole paint and like the sides of the paint.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one.
Huh.
I'm nonplussed. Specific. I don't really have a reaction to that. I got to give it some thought. I mean, this is a man who feels we need more blocking fouls or more charging calls.
More charging calls.
In the NBA. That's what we're missing. We don't have enough charges.
It is a very unsatisfying play, though, the way that he described. Like, it's very unscientific, and you have Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy yelling at each other, two basketball experts over us, like, in slow motion. It is unsatisfying. I see his point.
I hear that.
That's not how you're fixing it, though, is it?
And I don't think that moving the arc is going to be the difference between the bang-bang, like a bang-bang call. A bang-bang judgment call is always going to be
that.
I think
so. Mm-hmm.
But, by the way, how did they call a foul on P.J. Tucker the other night from that?
Criminal.
That's the worst call
criminal
I've ever seen. Bubba, who's next?
We got Devin in the control room.
Devin, go ahead, Devin. I can't believe I'm doing this, but go ahead, Devin. What's one thing you would like to change in sports?
Greeny, we need to get rid of the 10-yard holding penalty. It should be 5 yards. It happens way too often. It's a drive killer. I hate it.
Okay, so I find that interesting. So Devin put that in the Google Doc, in the legendary Google Doc, as a suggestion. I actually don't hate that. I think how you feel about holding is greatly dependent on who your quarterback is. Devin, remind me who your team is again?
The Giants.
It's the Giants. See, so for some teams, a 10-yard, like for Patrick Mahomes, a holding call is like a hiccup. Mm-hmm. Let's say you didn't even pay attention to
first
that.
First and 20.
For the Jets, you might as well just punt. if you get the Jets' offense the last few years, if they get a penalty for holding, literally, they might as well just punt on first down. Just save us the rest of save us the time. Just run, you know, take three knees if you don't want to put your defense back on the field that quickly. But a 10-yard holding is an insurmountable penalty on that draft. You're basically, a 10-yard holding equals a Hail Mary. You're just going to throw it up for grabs.
The one I hate the most is when they'll throw the one-on-one Hail Mary down the field and it will wind up being a 55-yard pass interference
right.
penalty. That's the one I don't like.
Okay, I'm with that too. What's next? Bubba, who's our next caller? I don't mind that one. Devin, it's actually, by your standards, that's actually a very good suggestion.
Well, thank you.
Bubba, who's next?
Let's go to Robert.
Robert, you're on ESPN Radio. Have you got a suggestion? What would you like to change in sports?
Good morning, Greeny. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Two quick things in the NHL. One, I want to get rid of the shootouts. I want them as memorable as dodo birds and passenger pigeons.
Okay.
As dead as dinosaurs.
You want to go back to ties, or do you want to play out overtimes in the regular season?
I want to play out. I want to play out overtime. And if there's ties, if they want to decide after two periods, they want to tie, okay. But the most important thing I want to get rid of, Greeny, is that stupid penalty when you shoot the puck over the glass, and it's called delay of game. How the heck is it a delay of game?
I think, I look, this is not a sport to which I know as intimately as I do the others, but what they're trying to do is keep players from doing that on purpose to stop the game in a moment so that to use that as an advantage.
They can call it something
else. Bad is happening. I'm just going to flick the puck over the over the glass so that everything has to stop. I think that's what they're trying to get out of the sport.
And I think it sort of works.
I do too. And I don't want to put, I love the call. Oh. I love the enthusiasm, but I don't mind the ties. See, I always get yelled at for this. I don't mind the ties. We had tie games in hockey for 100 years, and I've done the research. No one died from it. We had tie football games in college football for 100 years. In the NFL, look back at great NFL teams. They were always like 11-2-1. 11-1-2. Games ended in a tie all the time, not the end of the world. It's just another item in the standings that matter. It's better than a loss and worse than a win.
So you don't like the shootout in hockey either?
No, I'm okay with the shootout in hockey, but my point is I think the shootout is better than having the players play endlessly all night long during the regular season, because that really is a much more challenging, to me, that's just as physically grueling as playing extra time in soccer. So I don't mind the shootout as if you want to prevent the tie. Like, the shootout to me eliminates the tie. If your priority is eliminating the tie, I can live with it. I think it's a decent way to do it, and it's exciting and fun and contrived. But I don't mind the tie. I think baseball games should end in a tie. Play a baseball game.
Never
if
happened.
It's still tied after 12 innings, it ends in a tie.
Never
I'm okay
happened.
With it. Could you imagine Manfred announcing that? Can you imagine how they would react to Rob if he said that? Give me one more quickly, Bubba. Go.
Let's go to Chris.
Chris, give me something you'd like to see changed.
Yeah, I'd like to see the college football change their one-foot requirement down for reception to 2 foot like the NFL. I just think it makes more sense.
So you don't like the 1 foot down. That's an interesting one.
These have been very specific changes.
I know. You know what? But that's the beauty of this. Like, I love, these are just little nitpicky things.
I mean, what is the alternative, Hembo? I don't understand.
But big things.
A broad change.
Getting rid of penalty kicks.
That's a huge change.
Is a big difference than changing the 1 foot down, 2 foot down.
Let's erase all the unwritten rules in baseball. Here's your broad one. Let's do it.
Well, we haven't gotten, so we haven't yet heard from Bubba. We haven't yet heard from Nuno. We will as we continue here. Plus, if you haven't heard from Shefty, if you didn't hear what he said on his podcast yesterday, trust me, you need to be sticking around here in the next couple of minutes, because I'm going to play it for you in its entirety, and you're going to realize it may change everything for the biggest story in the sport. That's next.